Good morning, Crossroads. My name's Austin. Why don't we stand up and sing a little bit? Waking hearts to life. Yeah, we're singing again now. His love is deep, his love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce, his love is strong, it is furious. His love is sweet, his love is wide, and it's waking hearts to life. Your love is fierce, your love is strong, it is furious. Your love is sweet, your love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life. So when we hear your voice, call us out to the unknown, uncertain.
call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look.
Everyone needs
God, I just thank you for being a God who always saves. Being a God who's constant, consistent, always. Thank you for being my one true constant. Just the word that keeps coming to mind. God, I just ask that you would provoke, and you would provoke every soul and every spirit, every heart, every mind. God, that we would be taken into such a deeper level of understanding of who you are and what you're capable of. You know, sometimes we put you in this box, and God, I just ask that you would break that. You would just break that box, and that any preconceived notions of what we think you are, God, that you would eliminate that, and you would show us something brand new. Something brand new. So in your name I ask all these things. Amen. What's up, Crossroads? You guys all right? I'm on my third cup of coffee, so I'm feeling good. Feeling real good. Wired. My name's Austin, and I'm usually at Crossroads Clifton. And we're partying in Oakley this weekend. What's up? Loving it. It's good stuff. Hey, before you sit down, I know that you know that we meet at Bogart's. It is fun, I promise you. And so before you sit down, look to the person to your left or your right and tell them the last time you went to Bogart's, just don't tell them what you did, all right? Also, so there's this, there's a fellow Ohioan who sent us a video. He is a celebrity. He sent a video just for us. So check this out.
Hello, fellow Ohioans. My name is Matt Lanter. Some of you may know me from CW Starcrossed, or maybe 90210, or maybe even my voice from as Anakin from Star Wars The Clone Wars on Cartoon Network. I'm actually on the set in my trailer of my new film, USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage. I'm in Mobile, Alabama right now. It's 2 a.m., and I just got to set. I'm so excited for you guys that you guys are getting to watch this this series, Why Movies Matter. I think it's so cool, you know, how we can connect film and television and the emotional impact and spiritual impact it has on us and tie it into God's Word. I hope you enjoy your weekend and have a great rest of the day. See you later.
So, every Star Wars geek in this entire room needs to be freaking out right now. Because that's the voice of Anakin freaking Skywalker on Star Wars Clone Wars. Come on! That's what, I mean, any Star Wars geeks in here? Oh my gosh. So, like, I would actually beg to say I'm the biggest Star Wars geek in this room right now. Are there any contenders? Anybody? Oh, we'll fight. We'll go to the flagpole. I'll bring my plastic lightsaber. Okay? And all of y'all can come and watch and see the most pathetic thing you've seen today. All right. So, hey, welcome to Crossroads, you guys. My name is Paul Lawson. I'm on staff here as a student ministry director and occasional guitar player for the band. Sometimes you'll see me up here playing guitar, but for the most part, I'm back in the student section hanging out with middle schoolers and high schoolers. And yeah, all right. Any middle school, high school volunteers in here right now? Anybody? No? All right. I'm usually back there in the student section hanging out, teaching them about Jesus, and also trying to convince them that a can of Axe body spray is not a suitable replacement for a shower. Right? Parents? Anybody? Yeah. It's an epidemic, because if you go back in the student section, it totally smells like Teen Spirit right now. It's disgusting back there, but it's awesome. So speaking of teaching kids really important things, you know, around here, Kids Club is an incredible environment for our kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, to be able to come in and hear about God in a language that they understand. And they get to hang out with a bunch of other kids and awesome volunteers while they're at it. So that's during the weekend, but during the week, we want to equip you parents and babysitters and guardians to be able to connect with your kids spiritually. And our solution to that is crossroadskidsclub.net. So this is a website that has all of our resources that we use on the weekend. So that's like music and videos and activities and all that good stuff. It's all available to you for free at any point, and it's mobile friendly. So if you guys are like stuck in line at the DMV and you got your screaming children with you and you need something, your kid needs a little dose of Jesus, we've got it for you. We got it for you. And, I mean, everybody at the DMV needs a dose of Jesus, right? I mean, let's just be real. So that's at crossroadskidsclub.net. So if you've been around here for any length of time and you have said yes to following Jesus, that you are running after Jesus as a primary part of your life, we've got something for you to take a next level step. And that's actually called Next Level, and it's this Wednesday at 7 p.m. And Next Level is a time for us to be able to get together and do more of this music stuff. Do you guys enjoy doing the music stuff? I'm kind of into that. I'm a little bit biased on that, you know, so. But we're going to do more of that, a ton more of that on Wednesday night. We're going to do a time of communion. There's going to be teaching. And you don't want to miss it. It's going to be an incredible time. So Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we've got childcare available. So if you got your kids with you, make sure you bring them with you. Two things that we absolutely love around here. If you haven't been able to tell, we're kind of obsessed with movies. We love movies. We also love environments to be able to, and for you to be able to invite your friends and your neighbors and your family, regardless of their beliefs and backgrounds, and for them to feel welcome. So we're going to combine those two things, and we're going to do a family-friendly movie night this Friday at 6:30 p.m. Doors open at 6 p.m., so make sure you get your friends, get your family, get your neighbors, get here early, get a spot, get some snacks, hang out with some people you may or may not know, and doors open 6. Movie starts at 6:30, and I can't tell you, like, what movie we're showing, but it's something along the lines of Large Brave Person 6. So I'll let you figure that out. If you don't know what that's referring to, just ask the person next to you, and they can probably tell you. So I'm not going to tell you lest we get sued, and I don't want that. So it's going to be a great time. And also, if you brought your kids to Kids Club this weekend, they're going home with a flyer too, with all the information on it, so you have that information you can go home with. So all of that stuff that I just mentioned takes time, energy, and money. So we're going to enter into a time right now where the people around here who call this place home can be financially generous. So there's a couple ways that you can give money around here. We're going to be passing bags down through the aisles. That's one way you can give money. Another thing you can do is go into crossroads.net/give, and you can do what my family does and set up a recurring e-gift. It's super easy. So those are two ways to do that. If you're brand new here, don't worry about any of that. Let the bag pass you by. We're just glad you're here. So today, we're going to have our Crossroads Clifton campus pastor come up and teach. Lena Tome is going to come up and give the word. Yeah, it's awesome. So she's been doing an awesome job this whole weekend. And here's a video showing what ridiculously epic, awesome movie she's going to be talking about. So check it out.
We could do it, you know. Take off, live in the woods.
They'd catch us.
Well, maybe not.
We wouldn't make it 5 miles.
Welcome, welcome. The time has come to select one courageous young man and woman for the honor of representing District 12 in the 74th annual Hunger Games.
And so it was decreed that each year, the 12 districts of Pen M shall offer up in tribute one young man and woman between the ages of 12 and 18 to be trained in the art of survival and to be prepared to fight to the death.
This is the time to show them everything. Make sure they remember you.
What's up, Crossroads? My name is Lena. I know that you're bummed that I'm not wearing the red dress of fire right now, but I thought it might freak you all out, so I went with normal clothes. My name is Lena Tome, and I do have the same last name of someone else who usually stands on this stage, and I will let you know that he is not my husband. So for those of you that see us in public, please quit asking if we are married, because we are not. He is my dad, and I think that you all have been boosting his ego when you've asked us that in public. I am Brian's oldest daughter, and if you've been around here for a while, you may have heard some stories about me growing up, or maybe heard about all of the cars that I've wrecked. But I'm not going to talk about those things or motorcycles today. That's not my MO. And I thought that maybe, though, you'd want to know a little bit about me that my dad might not have told you. So I did grow up with him as my dad. He's still my dad. I am the oldest of two kids, or three. I'm the oldest of three. I have two younger siblings. This is us. My mom never let this picture go public. I don't know why we took that. It's going public today. Sorry, Jake and Mariah, if you're in here. And I grew up around here in kids club and in student ministry. I went to go South Africa when I was in high school. And then I graduated from the hottest college in America, the University of Cincinnati. Go Bearcats. Yes. And while I was in college, I was super involved on campus, along with going to all of the football games. I also joined a sorority, and I was in a step team. I'll stop. I think my pants will fall down if I keep going. I was on a step team, which was ridiculous and a lot of fun. And I graduated from the Lindner College of Business and thought that I was going to go work for Procter & Gamble. Touching lives, improving people, or improving people, touching people. I don't know. It's something weird like that. Great company, but I decided to go in an entirely different direction. And I am now our Crossroads Clifton campus pastor. And I love what I do. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. So I have a few things going for me today. That I should just let you know up front. One is that I've actually watched movies that have come out in the last 5 years. So we're going to talk about a recent movie. And I am a woman, and so of course I picked a movie with a badass female as the lead character. About time, ladies, right? So we are going to talk about Hunger Games, and as I began looking into what movie to talk about today and what movie has really affected me, I was reminded of a way that great stories have been described by Donald Miller, who is an author that I love, and he's done a lot of research on stories, and he talks a lot about stories, and he writes stories, and he said that there are three main things that make a story great. The first is, the bigger the character want, the better the story. The next is, the bigger the conflict, the better the story. And lastly, the bigger the risk of failure, the better the story. Now, I believe that The Hunger Games has all of these things. Katniss has this huge character want of freeing her nation, of giving freedom to the people that she loves, including her family. And there is huge conflict because there is a battle going on between the oppressor and the country, and it is a fight to the death. There is huge risk of failure for Katniss. She could die in the Hunger Games. And what we see her do is we see her sacrifice herself, offer up herself, and say, I'm willing to die for the ones that I love, for my family. I'm willing to die for this country, and I want to bring freedom to this nation. And I actually think that Katniss is just a little bit less of a badass version of Jesus. And so I think that's why I love The Hunger Games so much. But there's a really powerful scene where Katniss decides, I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm willing to fight for this freedom. And let's check that out.
Primrose Everdeen. Where are you, dear? Come on up. Well, come on up. I believe we have a volunteer.
So what's happening here is that they are living in a world that is full of pain and hunger and death. And there's a battle that happens, the Hunger Games, so that they are reminded of this world that they live in. And Katniss says, nope, there's a hope in freedom. And I want to give it to the people around me. I want to fight for freedom. And ultimately, I'm about to spoil the movie for you. If you haven't seen it, you should have already. And let's get real, you should have read the books. Katniss inspires people to start a revolution and fight for the freedom of humanity. And actually, that's exactly what Jesus has done. We live in a world of pain and hunger and death, and Jesus has said, I'm willing to die to fight for the freedom of all of these people, of all of the earth for all time. And so we can learn some things from Katniss, but really we can learn some things from Jesus today. And I believe that Jesus makes us a freed people so that we can free people. When I was little, I would play this game, freeze tag. Now, I know that there are 37 different versions of freeze tag, so I'm going to tell you about the one I would play as a kid, because if we played this version now as adults, I think that it would be a little bit strange. So go with me on this. So what happens is someone is it, and they run around, and they freeze someone. They tag someone. And when you freeze, you have to stand like this with your legs apart, because the way that you become unfree... No, wait. The way that you become free is that the other kids who are free run around and crawl under your legs, and you're unfrozen and you're free to then go crawl under other people's legs and unfree them. Now, you understand why this would be weird for us to do as adults. However, it is a game that we play as children, and I think that's because deep inside of us, from the time that we're little, there is something inside of us that says, I'm supposed to be freeing other people. It's not okay when people are frozen, when they are captured. We want to be rescuers. It's inside of us. And that's because Jesus frees people to free people. And if we have the freedom that Jesus gives, if we receive that freedom, then in turn, we go and give that away. And I think that there are a bunch of different ways that Jesus frees us, and I want to talk about three of them today. We see all throughout the Bible Jesus healing people. He heals emotionally, he heals spiritually, he heals physically. And I believe that he still heals today. And free people will receive that healing and give healing away. This happens in the Hunger Games, actually. We see that when one of the team, Katniss and Peeta, when one of them receives the opportunity for healing, they give healing to the other person, because it's not something that you hoard, it's not something that you keep to yourself, but when you're healed, you want to give that away. Let's check it out.
Peeta, I got the medicine.
What happened to you?
I'm fine.
No, you're not. What happened?
The girl from 2, she threw a knife. I'm okay.
You shouldn't have gone. You said you weren't gonna go.
You got worse. I'm sorry.
You need some of that too.
I'm okay.
That feels better. Okay. Now you. Come on, you need it too. Come on.
Aw. Now, all the girls in here just had a little bit of a moment. Even though, if you've seen the movie, you know that PETA's a little bit weird. But there is something sweet about the fact that they're healing one another. And I think there are two things that happen here that aren't uncommon for when Jesus heals us or when Jesus heals the people around us. It's that, one, when that healing first comes, it kind of stung at first. And you'll notice that Katniss actually was a little resistant to the healing. She was like, no, I'm good how I am. And PETA said, no, I'm going to heal you. And we actually see a very similar thing happening when Jesus heals a man in the book of Mark. Let's read it together. So they arrived at the other side of the lake, Jesus and the disciples, in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Now, what goes on to happen is that Jesus heals this man. He casts out the evilness, the darkness, the pain inside of him, and he throws it all into a herd of pigs, and the pigs run off a cliff. And I think that this isn't very different than how you and I sometimes react when Jesus wants to heal us. Sometimes we go, no, 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 I'm good. I don't need what you're giving me. And I know that some of us do this because I do this. And I have done this, and I want to share with you what that looked like for me. I told you that I grew up around here, and I had a really great foundation. I believed in Jesus. I was following him. I had friends around me who loved Jesus and were following him and were a lot of fun. And I ended up going to UC because I got a scholarship. And it was closer to my parents' house than my high school was, so you know the reason that I went was because I got a scholarship. And I loved UC, for the record. But I move into the dorms, and in the first 45 minutes, I made best friends. And those best friends were the friends that I would go out with on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings. And college for me quickly became about the social scene. I was still going to class, but I was drinking almost every night. And I was drinking a lot. And the reason that I was drinking so much was because it gave me a little bit of confidence. And I really just wanted the approval of the people around me. I wanted friends. And I wanted to be fun and liked. And I also wanted that guy at that party to want to make out with me. Because my self-worth quickly got caught up in unhealthy relationships and got caught up in what guys thought I was beautiful and what guys wanted to be with me. And so my evenings, my weekends, ended up being about who wanted to walk me home or who was going to call me later. And yet, I knew who Jesus was, and I knew what he could do for me, and I knew how he wanted me to be living, and I didn't really want it because I thought I was good how I was. Even though I was really lonely, and I felt really alone despite having a very full social calendar, I felt really alone and really broken, and I finally hit a breaking point where I feel like Jesus said, this is it, like, you're done. You can't keep living like this. And so there were some people that I trusted that were part of this community, and I confessed all of this to them, and I said, I don't know who I am, I don't know what I believe, I don't know what I'm doing, and I feel like crap. And I think that I want Jesus' healing in the midst of this. And so those people prayed with me, and in the Bible it says, confess your sins and you will be forgiven and you will be healed. And so I did that, and from that point on, God started to pull little things out of me and heal me from these desires to only be approved of by the men around me or by the friends around me. And he made my self-worth not about what people thought of me or not about the attention I was getting from boys, but about what he actually thought about me. And what happened with me is also what happened in this story, which is the friends around me, when I stopped hanging out with a certain group of friends, I was getting reactions like, where have you been? Why are you no fun anymore? Why don't you ever come over to the house anymore? Because some people around me didn't understand the healing and didn't even understand the pain that I was going through. And so they were a little bit upset about what had happened. And we actually see this happening after Jesus heals this man. This is how the crowd reacts. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and to leave them alone. And I think that this is very common for us. It's to deceive ourselves into thinking we don't actually need healing. And when we get healing, there are probably going to be some people who aren't too happy about the healing, and I don't know if I want to go there. And that's what I did. And yet, to receive that freedom is to receive healing from Jesus and to give that away to other people. And so when I received that healing, I couldn't hold that to myself. Because, see, I had these friends that I loved and that I cared about and who on Sunday mornings would be really upset about what happened on Saturday night. And I couldn't sit there and go, sorry. But instead, I knew that Jesus had healed me of these, of feeling like my self-worth was in these unhealthy relationships. And I had to share that with the people who were around me. And I had to just say, is it cool if I pray with you? And I had to give away that healing. And my friends, in turn, some of them were healed from the same things I was healed of. Because free people receive healing and give healing away. Because we want to free other people, right? Now, this is actually one of my favorite Bible stories. But I didn't realize that it was one of my favorite Bible stories until about 3 months ago. And it's not because it became my favorite 3 months ago. Well, maybe a little, but anyways. It's actually because of the whole first part of this story that I didn't read to you. My dad used to tell my brother and me when he would put us to bed at night this story. There are two stories he did on repeat. And you've heard one of them. And I will let you know that we have the same DNA. And so I have the same sound effects that my father has. And I really want to tell you this story like he would tell it to me when he put me to bed. But if I do that, you're going to have to give me a little bit of grace because, like I said, we have the same sound effects. So Waves and a gun and lightning and a plane crashing all are the same sound. So you're just going to have to use your imagination like I did when I was six. So is it cool if I tell you the beginning of this story the way my dad would tell it to me? Okay. Here we go. So, are you guys ready for bed? Get in bed. Now, Jesus was on a mountain teaching. And then he and the disciples decided that they were going to go to the other side of the lake that was on the bottom of this mountain. And so they get into the boat, and next thing you know, Jesus falls asleep. And he's laying his head on a pillow, and he's going, shh, shh. And as he's sleeping, a storm begins. And the disciples begin to get scared because there's thunder, boom, and lightning. And the waves start crashing over the boat. And the boat's swaying from side to side. And the disciples are going from side to side on the boat. And they get afraid. And they wake up Jesus and they go, Jesus, Jesus, wake up. Can't you hear the storm? Aren't you afraid? And Jesus says, don't you know who I am? And he says, peace. Be still. And the waves stopped. And the thunder stopped. And the lightning stopped. And there was peace over the water. Now go to sleep. Now, the next line in the story that he did not tell us when we were going to sleep was this. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. That would have been the worst bedtime story of all time. So I appreciate that he stopped it where he did. But I was reading through Mark and realized that these stories were connected and thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. Then I went to Israel. And in Israel, I was sitting on the mountain that Jesus would have been teaching from before he decided to go over to the other side of the lake. And we were with a tour guide, Aryeh, who is a world-renowned tour guide, who is a Jewish man who has grown up in the Jewish faith believing in Jesus. And he reads the Bible in its original language every day. And so we're sitting on this mountain, and Aryeh was also a soldier in the Israeli army. And he's telling us that when he was in the war, he would sit on top of this mountain. And at night, the wind would carry the voices of all of the other groups of soldiers all around the lake. And you could hear what was going on all across the Sea of Galilee. So we read through this story, and Aryeh says, when Jesus decides and says to his friends, his disciples, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake, he would have heard this man screaming and crying out from the cemetery every night that he sat on that mountain and prayed. And he decided it's time to go heal him. Now, pretty powerful, but not the most powerful part of that story. Now, if you remember, this man is running around screaming out and shrieking in the cemetery at night. He's crazy, and he's naked. Naked, crazy man running around. Sounds like college. And let's fast forward to the end of this story again. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. So I'm sitting here in Israel going, where did this man get these clothes? If he was running around naked before, how did he have clothes all of a sudden? And Arye goes on to tell us that this Greek word for pillow, that we've translated to pillow or to cushion, pending what version you read of the English Bible, is nowhere else in the Bible. The only place the word cushion or pillow is used is when Jesus is holding it close to him in the boat during the storm, when he's sleeping on it. And as I'm sitting there, I'm also going, this is a tiny little lake. And it probably would have taken 15 minutes in a boat to get from one side to the other. So how the heck did Jesus fall asleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm? He could have done it because he's Jesus, and Jesus is perfect and always the right answer. We know that if you go to church or Sunday school or kids club. So I knew that, but I still was going, this is kind of funny to me. And what Arye goes on to say is, because this is the only time that pillow is ever used in the Bible, it might not have actually been a pillow the way that you think of pillow or cushion. What it might have been was a satchel full of clothes that Jesus was holding close to him because he knew that he was going to go heal this crazy man, and the crazy man was going to be embarrassed if he came to his senses and realized that he was naked. And so he wanted him to have some clothes, and he was trying to keep him dry in the middle of that storm, and the disciples just thought he was sleeping. So I start crying at this point. Don't worry, I was wearing sunglasses, so no one knew I was crying. And I was going, what is wrong with me? Why am I crying over the fact that Jesus had these clothes for this man that I thought was a pillow my whole life? And I think it's because in that moment, what happened was that Jesus said to me, Lena, I care so much about you, and I love you so much that I've already thought through the fact that you're going to come to your senses and need something, and I'm holding it really close to me and making sure it doesn't get wet so that it's comfortable when you put it on and you didn't know it was coming. And I went, oh. Because free people receive tender love to give tender love away. And I think that I had, for most of my life, seen Jesus as this strong man who was a miracle doer and a rescuer of people, who started a movement and raised people from the dead and could move mountains. And yet, I don't think that I fully received the tenderness and the love that Jesus wanted to give me like he gave to this man. And this really clicked for me when we're walking down off the mountain and my dad comes over and he puts his arm around me and he's like, hey, I need to apologize for something. And I said, okay. And he goes, I know that I was not tender enough with you as you were growing up. And I'm sorry that I have not been a comforter. And I'm sorry that I have not been as tender with you as I should have been. And I'm going to work harder on that. And I realized that in that moment, that my dad also received the tender love of Jesus, and his response was to give that to me, and I desperately needed it. Because my dad is a free man because of Jesus, who receives what Jesus gives him, which is tender love, and he gives it back to me. And so I got to be the recipient of that, and in turn, I've been able to practice what it looks like to be tender and loving, because my default mode is to be tough and strong. And Jesus actually came to be a comforter. And I think he just wants us to receive that tender love. And in the Hunger Games, this is actually what starts the revolution, is when the world sees Katniss being tender and loving. Because in the Hunger Games, if you are young or you are weak, then no one wants anything to do with you because it's just assumed you're going to die and you're going to be of no help. And Katniss befriends this little girl, the youngest girl in the games, who is not from her hometown, and says, I'm going to be friends with you, I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to love you. And unfortunately, this girl, this little girl, gets shot, and this is what we see Katniss do for her. That's a heavy scene. And I think the reason that it's so heavy is because sometimes it's really heavy to receive that tender love. It's actually after that that the revolution is started in the Hunger Games. Because people want to follow a leader who is tender and loving. And that's what we see Katniss doing. And not only do people start following her as a result of that, but her life is actually spared because of the love that she showed to this little girl. There is an opportunity for someone later to kill Katniss, and they don't because they said, I saw what you did for Rue, that little girl, and I'm gonna spare your life because of it. And that's the last thing that we do, I think, as free people, is that we receive the life Jesus wants to give us to give away life to others. I think that we receive life in joy and in laughter and in purpose. And when we get those things, we have to give them away. We don't hoard them for ourselves, but they're all encompassing of us and we want others to have them. Now, I am my father's daughter, so of course, I needed to play some clip that was a little bit funny and inappropriate. And so there were some people who decided to breathe all new life into the Hunger Games and actually change all of the words. Let's just enjoy some new life together.
What did you do? It reeks. It's like a hot foot forest.
Oh, well, I got the squirts. You know, where you make fudge puddles.
My bad. Didn't need the visual.
It's horrific.
Okay, can we forget it?
I got a purse.
You don't even like it.
I do. Everyone thinks
I don't.
Well,
I'm buying you a new one. And extra milk.
But I have milk.
Yeah, but you're the one that chokes on water. Scooby-Doo. Do something fruity.
No, thank you.
Well, then can I do it?
Gross, you're drunk.
Maybe, but who's stopping us? Hmm? Your dad?
Yeah, right.
You cow sack! Your dog spit this evil grunge at me. You know you want to go dance with me.
Hey, come on now. Shh. Hey, tuna flavor.
I'm the queen.
Not, you're too excitable.
Drank.
Yeah, he's so right. Hey, Joe. What, who's Joe?
Okay, wait, you're not Joe? I thought he was Joe.
He's Codfish Joe.
Remember Bob the human? He hurt me. And bombed Josie Seeger's 10-speed.
Can it? You little liar.
No, he barfed on a sailor like a pig. And the police ate Timothy.
Every night, I want you to hold Marvin the cat. He's not a real cat. Will you text me?
I don't want you to text me.
You're stupid.
You're dumb.
Okay. Well, whose father's on crack?
Poor little hoe right there. You went out with Brian. Well, he's mine. And now I'm loco crazy.
You stink.
Yay, a goat.
Give me a good time.
Gross.
Please? And that's how babies grow?
Gotta be kidding.
It's not.
Is my makeup messed up? Ladies? Okay, so sometimes new life just looks like laughing and looks like a new sense of joy, like we get from those videos. John 10:10 says this. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And that's Jesus talking. There is an enemy. There is someone who wants to take from you. They want to take the life that Jesus has planned for you. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. And what Jesus says is, no, I have a purpose for you, and it's super fulfilling. Do you want it? I can't tell you how many of my friends go, I just wish I had purpose. I don't know what I'm passionate about. I wish that my job was more purposeful. I wish that I was passionate about what I do. And those are valid thoughts and feelings, and yet I don't think that they have fully received the life that Jesus has for them and the freedom that Jesus has for them, because the best freedom you're going to get is receiving the purpose in life that God has for you, that Jesus has for you, and it's going to defeat the enemy every time. And I actually believe that there is a whole group of people in our city who the enemy is rampantly trying to steal from and to destroy and to confuse about what their purpose is. And I see these people all the time in the Uptown community. And I'm not just talking about UC students or college students, although that is a big part of it. And I'm not just talking about people in Clifton, and I'm not just talking about people at Bogart's, and I'm not just talking about people who will come to Old St. George when we open there. But it is, yes, that's exciting. But it is right now, it is the whole Uptown community, and we're starting to give life in that community in Bogart's on Sunday nights, and this is what it looks like.
Oh,
Uptown Funk You Up. Crossroads Uptown is now what we are calling it because we want freedom to come to as many people as we can give it to. And we believe that it is all-encompassing in the Uptown community. And so I don't want the thief killing and destroying and taking life from my friends and from the people in my neighborhood anymore. I want them to have new life, and as a free person, it is my job to give new life to those people. Are you freeing people? If you have received the healing that Jesus has for you, if you have received the tender love that Jesus has for you, if you have received the life that Jesus has given to you, are you freeing other people with that? And I think he wants you to receive those things. I think that Jesus wants to heal you of your cancer. And I think that Jesus wants to heal you of that feeling of unworthiness. And I think Jesus wants to heal you of looking for life in everything but him. And I think Jesus wants to tenderly love you. I think he has something in a satchel that he's holding really close to him in the middle of the storm that you're going to need in 2 weeks that you don't even know that you need it. And he's thinking about it so that you're not afraid, embarrassed, or uncomfortable when you get it. And I think he wants to give you new life. And he wants you to have purpose. And you just have to receive it. You have to say, okay, I want it. I'm ready for it. You can't do this alone either. I've tried. It sucks. You need other people around you to help you give these things away. You need a team. And if you live in Kentucky, there's a team at Crossroads Florence. And if you live north of 71, there's a team at Crossroads Mason. And if you live on the west side of Cincinnati, there's a team at Crossroads West Side. And if you live in Uptown, there's a team at Crossroads Uptown. And if you live in Oakley, there's a team at Crossroads Oakley. And you need to get these people around you. Because you can't do this alone. At Next Level, this Wednesday night, we're actually talking all about what it looks like to receive what Jesus has for us. How do we tangibly do that? And part of Next Level is that we don't want you doing that by yourself. We want you to practice these things, practice receiving, and talk about them with other people and practice them with other people. And so if you need to get on a team, go to the next level closest to where you live this Wednesday night. And I think right now, some of us just need to ask Jesus to give us what we need. We just need to say, I want to receive it. I'm ready to receive it. I want to pray for that right now for all of us. So God, I know that you have things for me that I need, that I've been resisting, and I just want you to give them to me right now. And I know that you love me, and I want to receive that tenderness and that tender love right now. And I want you to show me what it looks like to give away the love that you've given me as my purpose. And I just pray that you would fill me and that you would fill all of the people in this room with exactly what it is that they need. And I thank you for being a God that sacrifices and that loves us and that frees us. And it is in your son Jesus' name. Amen. I want us all to stand right now. And I want us to sing together one last time this song, Furious. Because when Jesus said, I'm going to sacrifice myself to free Lena, to free Sarah, to free John, to free this whole humanity, it was a furious act of love. And I want us to sing to him and say, I want this love that you're giving me. and I want my heart to be awakened to life. I'm ready for new life. Let's sing this together.
His love is wide and it covers us. His love is fierce, his love is strong, it is furious. His love is sweet, his love is wild, and his waking hearts to life. His love is deep, his love is wide and it covers us. His love is fierce, his love is strong, it is furious. His love is sweet, his love is wild, and his waking hearts. Life. Sing it again. Love is deep, love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce, his love is strong, and it's furious. His love is sweet, his love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life. We sing it one more time. Love is deep, his love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce, his love is strong, and it's furious. His love is sweet, his love is wild, and his waking heart to life.
Thank you for being here this week at Crossroads. We'll see you this Wednesday at Next Level.